We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
The statement the NFL just released a short time ago, no additional conditions were attached. And the fact that he's been reinstated means he will not have any more time served this upcoming season. So he will be eligible to play when the 2015 season kicks off. He will not have to sit out any games after sitting out, I think, 15 games last year, despite the fact that he was paid, and he will be allowed to play football going forward. Now the question becomes what happens to Adrian Peterson's football future. And the Minnesota Vikings have made it very clear that they want him back and they intend to bring him back. And for all the speculation that there's been a trade involving Adrian Peterson, I think it would very much be up to another team to try to convince the Vikings in the form of an enticing enough offer that he would be somebody that they should consider trading. But right now, that doesn't seem like something Minnesota is willing to do.
That's Adam Schefter from ESPN talking about Adrian Peterson reinstated effective tomorrow. That means he can fully participate in all team activities. I would not expect to see him here on Monday when the Vikings start their offseason workouts. I don't think he's ever come in for the offseason workouts. He works out down in Texas anyway. And it's going to be interesting going forward what he decides to do and what they wind up doing. I do think that if not sooner, likely it'll go to drafting. I think he's getting traded. I still think he's going to the Cowboys. And both teams now are posturing with Vikings want a lot more than the Cowboys are offering. The Cowboys are trying to be stingy. When it comes right down to it, though, Jerry Jones is going to look at his team and realize he doesn't have a running back that he can trust.
No, he doesn't really. I mean, obviously, Darren McFadden's a pile of garbage. But it's just going to take that offer. Who's going to budge? Are we just going to end up taking a second or a third round pick?
No.
Or somebody going to be willing to offer what we want?
That first round pick that the Cowboys have, it's in the 20s, right? Do you know?
It's 27?
27. I mean, give that up. And if you're the Vikings, then you'd be crazy not to take it and move forward. Because and there's so many things about this, about, you know, AP and the way he's behaved through all this. Let me just give you a little more background so people understand. He got a letter from Commissioner Roger Goodell informing him that he's expected to fulfill his remaining obligations to the authorities in Minnesota and Texas, as well as the additional commitments Peterson made during his April 7 meeting with the commissioner, and that included participating in counseling. And the NFL said that any other violations of the personal code or conduct policy by Peterson would result in additional discipline, including possible suspension without pay or banishment from the NFL. Peterson, when he met with Goodell, it's the first time they've spoken since the child abuse case involving Peterson's 4-year-old son arose last September. This goes back to last May when Peterson admitted to taking a switch to his 4-year-old kid, leaving him a week later still with bruising. Peterson told ESPN back in February that he was following the NFL's requirements for reinstatement and also met with Dr. April Kuchik, the New York University psychiatry instructor Goodell had assigned to Peterson's case. That was for a counseling and treatment plan. Now, again, the Vikings start their offseason workouts Monday. I'd be surprised if he showed up at all, but Peterson has said, he said this at first ESPN in February, and his agent's had comments where he said, well, his wife isn't crazy about him coming back. The agent, Ben Dagra, has said Peterson would like to be traded. But Peterson, you know, he said back in February he believed the team had not shown sufficient support for him in the wake of his indictment in September, called the decision to put him on the commissioner's exempt list an ambush. Are you kidding? Somebody, you know what, he's got too many sycophants around him. Somebody needs to pull him aside, and no one will, because that's the problem when you have people that are presumed and looked at to be powerful, and no one wants to tell him the truth. What he did was wrong, and I don't think he's ever really accepted that what he did was wrong. Because how's it an ambush? What, he should have been suspended while that thing was pending. There was no way that he should have been able to play. There's no way the Vikings could have let him play. They started losing sponsors over it, and they, fans, mm-hmm. I mean, there are fans. As time goes on, fans feel better about it. Actually, I want to throw it out to you. I'll ask you the question and see if people want to call in, too. 651-989-9105. And by the way, we will talk about the Wild starting the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. As a matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to talk to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. But right now, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. What would you do with Peterson? Would you keep him? Make him play? Tell him he's going to play, or he gets, he'll be suspended without pay? Or would you trade him?
I'd trade him for the right offer.
That's exactly where I am.
But if we don't get the right offer,
he plays. He stays.
Suit up.
Or you're going to get suspended. Win. He claims he wants to. Look, he's talking tough. We're here to win. I like that. You sound like Little Zim.
I'm assuming that's what they're saying.
Yeah, you sound like Little Zim. I don't think they've given him that hard line yet. That'll come, but I think right now they've been trying to like kiss up to him. Oh, we love you, Adrian. We want you to come back. Come on. All the players want him back. And you know what? Yeah. Once he got in the locker room, everything else would fall away because these are his friends and his teammates. So it's not something that I think is going to be problematic if he got here. He just wants to get out because I think everyone is seeing this as he made the comment. This goes back before we heard anything about the child abuse, about him having a conversation with Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, about wanting to play there. I think it's all about that. And I still don't, it's no way was a coincidence that Jerry Jones and Steve Jones and the Cowboys redid Tony Romo's contract and to loosen up about 12 more million in cap space, which coincidentally is within a million or so of the cap hit that Peterson would be needed or that Peterson's contract would cause if it stayed as is. And I don't think it would stay as is if he was traded. It definitely would be renegotiated and redone.
No, they'll get that number down no matter where
sure
he goes if we trade.
But look at the money, though, they've opened up just to make it work. And since that, I don't recall the Cowboys making any signings, certainly no major signings.
No.
They've got that money to work with. There's a reason they have it. I'm sure they're confident. You know what? I would, if the Vikings are smart, and I can't imagine they'd be too stupid not to, they have to insist on the first overall pick. And I think what the Cowboys are going to do is they're going to try to wait it out. I believe they've already made up in their mind they will give it up, but not until draft day. They're going to take it as far as they can, and then they'll make the move. Maybe they can get, well, we'll give you the first, and then we'll throw this back at you. You throw us a fifth or something.
And that's why you see during the draft a lot of times when the clock's running down, you're thinking, what's going on? Shouldn't they just come up here and pick this guy? A lot of times they are just on the phone with another team, and they're trying to get that last offer, and it oftentimes comes down to that.
Well, I will say this, though. If you're the Vikings, you need to be absolutely clear with the Cowboys and tell them, you got to go into the first round without having a deal, because then if they knew they had the Cowboys pick, it gives them flexibility to move up in the first round by packaging. You know, they've done this before, but if they had their own two and they knew they had the Cowboys, they can move up even farther to get a much better player than they're going to get at 27.
I think Spielman's probably on the phone with Jerry Jones right now saying,
I
want McFadden and Herschel Walker.
Oh my God,
and you can have Adrian Peterson and take our first round pick too. We don't need it.
Now it sounds like Mike Lynn is negotiating the deal again, just like that. Oh my God, that Herschel Walker trade. No team will ever get suckered like that again.
Yeah, but the way Spielman loves to accumulate draft picks, once a first rounder is available, he's going to jump on it.
He should jump on it. Get the first round, because keep in mind, I mean, I know that he hasn't played. I know he's a phenomenal athlete, but he is going to turn 30. No matter how you look, the clock moves. I mean, Chris Johnson, he was a 2,000-yard rusher several years ago. He's trying to get back into football. Now, of course, being shot didn't help him any. But here's a guy that's working his way back into football.
He's not the 200-pound horse that Adrian Peterson is, 220. What is he at?
Adrian's more. He's probably 235 or
something. Chris Johnson's the little guy. He took the ball too many times, and he accumulated a little tread on that tire. Little before AP did.
Let me see what did I list AP at? They got him at two. Oh my God. There is no way he is 217 pounds. He's got to be 230 or more. I mean, he is. You've seen him in a pads, right? Have you ever seen the guy? I have, because I've been in the locker room. You know, when he's walking around just with like shorts on or a t-shirt or without any. There is no way he's only 217. The guy is sculpted muscle. And he's lean, but he's at his size at 6'1", 217. I don't think so. He's probably closer to 230, easily closer to 230 than he is 217.
He's jacked.
He's a guy's put together. I mean, he's a fine specimen of a lad.
He's a fairly larger version of me.
Okay, if that's how you want to look at it, we'll go with that. No, he's in great shape. And I don't think that's changed in the year that he's been off.
No. He's guaranteed he's still been hard at it working out.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
that. And riding camels.
I'll tell you what, it'd probably be a good workout. You get that camel going. You know, if you have a bit in his mouth, you got to jerk him around to move him. But that's a big neck to be turning. So we'll have to see on that. Now, how about your Wild?
How about them?
They play tonight, first game at St. Louis, first two games at St. Louis. Now, that should make Wild fans feel good because they did win 12 in a row before they lost in the final game at St. Louis, and that final game just threw out the window.
So Koivu, Suter.
Yeah. But you throw that one out the window, and you know what their record was against St. Louis this year, the ones that really meant something.
2-1-1.
2-0-1. They were 2-1-1, counting the final one. So that's a big deal. I think they're we'll see tonight how they are and how they do, and if they wind up just being fine. And we'll talk more. We'll talk a ton with Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. As a matter of fact, if you want to jot down our number again, 651-989-9105, and talk to Tom, you can give a call and do that. A little bit later today, also, by the way, I want to mention we have Twins tickets to give away. We'll have another little contest to win those. And your Timberwolves did not disappoint last night. What, they gave up 47 points in the first quarter?
They gave up about 70 points just to Westbrook and Waiters alone.
They did not want to leave any doubt that they were going to be the team with the worst record in the NBA. So now their chances of getting that first overall pick are 25%. If teams hadn't cheated, 20-something years ago, they'd have the first overall pick. But they were cheaters, and they had to go to a lottery because they couldn't trust the NBA players. And with that first pick, well, Jerry Zagoda told us yesterday that he thinks they're going to take Jahlil Okafor. This is one place where I absolutely agree with Flip. You don't change your mind based on a couple of games. You look at the body of work, mm-hmm. and that's where, as I've mentioned several times, where Teddy Bridgewater wound up sliding. Teams stopped looking at what he did during the season, and they looked at his pro day. He had a lousy pro day. They got scared off of him.
Well, that in football makes no sense to me. How is a workout better than game film?
It's ridiculous, but they do. That's what they do. And it's the case with Jahlil Okafor. No, he didn't have a great national championship game, but there's so much talent there. You know, Jerry was saying, and we've been here, he may even slide out of one of the, if it weren't the Timberwolves, he may slide beyond the first, second, even third pick, which was ridiculous.
See, if we fall down to 2 or 3 and still end up with Jahlil Okafor, I'm not going to cry about it.
No. No, honestly, if you take, and again, all we know is we hear about how great Kristaps Porzingis is from Latvia, and Emmanuel
Mudiay,
how good he is. He played in China and the point guard. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is up there, Justice Winslow. But if you wind up, they can't go farther than fourth, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they will get, of this group, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell. I don't know how high they have Justice Winslow rated, but I can't see them taking them. He's a small forward.
Yeah.
They've got one of those.
He's out of the mix.
Yeah, he's out of the mix. But Porzingis, a power forward from Latvia, he's not out of the mix. I mean,
he's kind of being compared to a Dirk Nowitzki with his length and athleticism, can shoot the ball from deep, and
that's not too shabby.
Might be able to play in the post a little bit, but big worry about him is he's very skinny, very light. He needs to put on some weight.
Who knows what kind of food they have in Latvia? Fatten him up. And Mudiay, Emmanuel, point. Honestly, I don't think a point guard's a bad idea because I don't know if you can trust Rubio staying healthy, but he would not be my pick. At point guard, mine would be local lad Tyus Jones. I know you're looking at scoffing at me, but I think Tyus is going to have a hell of a career in the NBA. He's projected as a mid to even a late round, first round pick. Whoever gets him is going to get one hell of a player. And I say the same thing in the NFL when we're talking about David Cobb. I think Cobb's going to be terrific. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. We will be joined by Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom's going to be rocking in St. Louis, and I guarantee you, the pub will be rocking back here in St. Paul. We'll be right back with Tom Reed. Hey, I love the music, but we have Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub on. And Tom, I know right that pub is probably hopping already.
I hope you're absolutely right, Robert. We're looking forward to this first game. This will be an interesting game. I mean, you look at what the Wild have done, especially over the last half of the season. You look what St. Louis has done. They've been a very solid club all year long, winning the division. So this should be a pretty good matchup.
Now, what did you think, Tom, when you heard that Jake Allen was going to start in net for St. Louis? Is that what you expected, or any surprise there?
Not really, because he has played so well down the stretch. But the thing is, he's got more experience in playoffs than Devin Dubnyk, who has never played a game, because Jake Allen has played a total of 67 seconds.
That's so. Right. That's more experience.
So he's got a lot more experience than our goaltender has, but I don't think that's going to make a difference.
Now, Tom, you're around these guys, and you were there for the morning skate. Are they loose? What are they? I mean, how would you describe their demeanor?
Actually, it's pretty good. I mean, they are pretty loose right now. I mean, it's always difficult when you go into the playoffs and you look at the guys who are here for the first time for Minnesota. And of course, you want to make sure that they're well in tune. But some of these guys won't get a chance. Like I look at Christian Poland, he won't play at least today. Schrader's not going to play tonight. The only other guy is Matt Dumba and Devin Dubnyk, who will be playing in their first NHL playoff games. But the guys who got some experience last year, I look at Niederreiter, how good he was last year, getting the game-winning goal in overtime against Colorado. So it's going to be more helpful for him. So there's guys in here getting a chance, like Granlund, will get a chance to play again tonight. This will be his second year. So they've got a little more experience of what it's like to play in playoff hockey, because it is a different animal.
Well, and then even the move, like when they brought Jordan Leopold in, Jordan, he went, game seven with Calgary in the Stanley Cup final. So they do have guys that they've positioned themselves to have veterans who've been through this or been through wars.
Yeah, Leopold, this is his ninth time that he's been in the playoffs. I mean, that's the second most, right behind, of course, Matt Cook, who's been in there 12 times. In the playoffs, but Matt will not play tonight because of discomfort they're calling it right now, so we don't know exactly what it is, but eventually they'll tell us once the season's over, but not now. But they'll get you need that experience. It really does help going into it. But this game is, to me, is critical for both of these teams, especially for Minnesota being on the road like this. But they have been a good road team all season long, as we saw, 12 wins in a row, which ties a record from 2004, 2005, I think, set by Detroit. But they're good on the road, so hopefully that trend will continue.
Tom, when you take a step back and look at this, do you see it as a 7-game series, or what do you think? I mean, what in your mind, what number comes up to you?
The number 6 comes up to me. For whatever reason, I just think it's going to be 6. And I look for Minnesota. If they can come out here tonight and they get that speed and they can draw some penalties and kind of get in the kitchen of it. I mean, we're hearing down here about how St. Louis has lost the last two series, the opening rounds. They got disappointed in how they played. Chicago last year beat them after they won the first two. Chicago beat them the next four. The year before that was L.A. that did the same thing. Those are two pretty good teams that beat them, too.
Yep.
But there's a lot of stigma attached to this team in the last couple of years. So they said they're going to come out and they're going to be banging and hitting and everything else. And I understand that part of it, but you've got to be smart also in the playoffs. You don't come out here just to bang and hit. You've got to do more than that, because if you start drawing penalties, then you get yourself in trouble. So it'll be interesting to watch how their coach, Ken Hitchcock, does this. What's interesting this morning, too, Bob, is I don't think I've ever seen a coach in years sit in the stands and watch the visiting team. But that's what Hitchcock did this
really?
Morning. Yeah, usually the assistant coaches will go up there and they get combinations and they'll look and see what's going on. But he actually was in the stands this morning. I can't tell you the last, and I've been around the game for a long time. I can't tell you the last time I saw a coach do that.
Is that considered bad form or accepted form for a coach? I mean, you said the assistants are always there. It just seems odd. It almost seems like it's spying.
Well, it is spying. Maybe he doesn't trust his assistant coaches, but you know what? I thought it was pretty interesting. He sat up there, he had a hoodie on, a gray hoodie, sitting up in the stands there with all the media, not on my side, but on the other side with the St. Louis media. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
Now, can Yo look up and say, get that SOB out of here? I mean, what if he had asked? You never do something like that, right?
No, you don't. You just go with it. And I don't think he learned anything by sitting up there, because Minnesota did not do the line combinations this morning. We know pretty well what they're going to be. And so does Hitch. I mean, Hitch is he's been around for a long time. He's won the Stanley Cup of Dallas. He's been here. This is his fourth year, his fourth kick at the can with his team. He's trying to make something better happen for this squad.
Now we're talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. But Tom, you mentioned a little bit ago, and this is what amazes me when you get into the postseason. If you really are going to use the fact that you lost the last 2 years in the first round as motivation, is there something wrong with that? I mean, how much more should you be motivated to be finally in the postseason after playing, more than 80 games? And you should be reinvigorated and at the top of your game just from that to be starting it.
Yeah, you should be. But there are players who were here last year that remember last year and what happened to them. That left a real sour taste in their mouth. They don't want that to happen again this year. And so you build on that a little bit. Of course, being in the playoffs this year is the most important thing. And this is a club that last year lost their last six games of the season and lost that number one spot in the division. And as a result, Colorado went in there, and that's who Minnesota played against. We thought it was going to be St. Louis.
Yeah.
One up being Colorado, which it won, then Chicago wound up playing St. Louis, and they beat St. Louis in six after St. Louis had won the first two games in overtime in this building that we're playing in tonight. So you have to remember what's happened in the past. You hope you gain the experience from that. But you're absolutely right. It's in the past, but you always have it's like the Vikings four times in the Super Bowl, but they never got it. And you remember it.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling sometimes. So, it should be a entertaining game, I would think, from the drop of the puck tonight.
Now, how about you? I mean, you've been doing this since the beginning with the Wild. Do you feel as a broadcaster that your game comes up too? I mean, do you feel a little extra bounce in your step heading to the broadcast booth on when the playoffs start?
Well, you do. It's no different than the players. I mean, 82 games is a long schedule, and Bob and I do all the games.
Yep.
It's no question. We do every game plus all the exhibition games. So there are certain games that maybe don't have the significance, and so you lose some of that jump. But then when you play the big teams and something has happened, all of a sudden you get invigorated with that too. And I think the playoffs is certainly one of the. I mean, we're both at practice this morning, talking to the media on the other side, talking to their guys, and finding out little tidbits here and there that we hope will help entertain our audience on the radio. And so we just keep working at that. And I think both Bob and I realize that once you get in the playoffs, this is a little bit different too. So we have to be much more cognizant of what's happening, not just on this team, but what's happening around the league in different games.
Well, and you probably have more people listening too that might not during the regular season. Now, how about Mike Yeo? Did you detect anything about him today? Was he as looser and normal, or is he feeling a little bit of the playoffs beginning?
No, you know what? I think he feels very comfortable right now. He really does. I mean, Minnesota's the underdogs here. Remember, we're playing against the division champions, who had another 100-plus points. This is the toughest division of any of the divisions in the NHL. You know, when you look at the fact that five of possible eight spots in our conference were teams from the Central Division, that tells you something. And last year, Colorado, who won the division, they didn't even make the playoffs this year. And Dallas, who's a very good team, they didn't make the playoffs. But we've got a very, very tough competition in the Central area. And with that in mind, it just tells you how tough it is to not only get the playoffs, but to advance in the playoffs. My thought today, Mike Yeo was very good. I mean, he has press conference. Most coaches don't say a great deal. You know what he's going to say.
Yep.
He looked very confident in the fact that his team seems to be ready to go.
Now, talking again to Tom Reed from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, they obviously two games in St. Louis. What do they come home? And what's your gut telling you? They come home 1-1, 2-0, not 0-2, certainly.
You hope it won't be 0-2. But you know what? Minnesota has lost. They've been in, the playoffs eight years, eight different playoff series. And they have lost the first game in seven of the eight.
Wow.
So they've come back and have done a great job. Remember back in 03
yeah.
when they beat Vancouver or Colorado, then Vancouver last year, of course, against Colorado. But they have not won that first game. So I don't put a lot of significance into it. You know that coming into this building tonight, it's a home game. It's the first game. The crowd is jacked up. They've had rallies. They're having all this stuff. And the players are, they're responding to the challenge given to them. So Minnesota just has kind of, weather the storm a little bit, especially at the beginning.
Yep.
Minnesota has to use their speed. If they use their speed and get to their goaltender, Jake Allen, early, they have a very good chance of winning this game.
Now, Tom, what's the atmosphere, the playoff atmosphere going to be like at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub?
Well, hopefully it's going to be just like it is in this building tonight.
It'll be packed.
We have a lot of fans down there. We've got specials. Every game, home and away, we still do specials for the Wild games. The puck drop, the puck stop, and we drop the 2 for $5 on most of our drinks there, selected drinks. So it's a pretty good deal. But we really want people just to come down to enjoy the atmosphere of being together and to watch it on the, we've got 32 TVs down there. We'll have all the different games on TV. And there's some pretty good matchups coming tonight. So it should be an interesting night, I think, for everybody concerned, especially if you're a fan of the Wild or any of the other teams in the NHL.
Well, and honestly, Tom, having been to your place a number of times, it is the place to go to for hockey. It's a great, I've said it to you before, it's the best sports bar I've ever been in. It's just comfortable and fun. You could spend a night walking around looking at all the memorabilia you have. And, of course, you want to order drinks while you're doing it, but you could take hours looking at all that memorabilia and letting it soak in.
Well, there's over 400 items there, so there's a lot of a story for each one of those things that are there. And I've got all of my memory. I just have to put it down on paper.
So when Tom is there, drag him around with you to tell you about all 400. Hey, Tom.
And I've done it, believe me.
I bet you have. Tom, thanks so much. Have a great game tonight. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We'll talk to you. Maybe we can talk to you tomorrow if you have a few minutes.
We'll see how tomorrow goes. Yep.
All right.
Send me a call.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. Little threesome action coming your way. Three questions, three answers. You are always welcome to join in. 651-989-9105. You know what? Let's give away some tickets, too. We'll have people call in. If they answer one of the questions, we'll tell you what the great tickets are when we return. But you better get on the line so you don't miss out.
651-989-9105. Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number.
It's
somewhere in
time.
Ancient mystic trinity.
For the threesome. And we do have, it's perfect. We have a couple of callers. And we're going to get the first question. They can hear it. All they have to do is give their thoughts, and they will win a pair of tickets to see one of the world's greatest blues guitarists, Joe Bonamassa, at the Orpheum Theater on April 24th. Tickets on sale at the State Theater box office, but you get a pair free. All you have to do is answer the question that I'm going to answer first, so you can steal my thoughts or improve on them.
Hey, Bob, I have some questions for you. Number one, the Wild play tonight. How do you think they'll do? And who's the X Factor that will help the Wild win this series?
Well, the X Factor, of course, is always Devin Dubnyk. And I do think that they, we talked to Tom Reed. He said they haven't, in 78 series they've had, they haven't won the first game. They've lost. I'm going to go with them winning tonight. I don't want to be a negative Nell, so we'll say they're going to win. Let's go to our caller. Hello?
It's Dwayne.
Hello. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Good. Now, what do you think? What do you think the Wild are going to do in the series? You think they win tonight and go on and win?
Absolutely, they're going to win tonight. In the next game, I think they'll do it in five.
That wouldn't be too shabby.
Yeah, I think Leopold's going to be the X factor.
That would be pretty good. I've known him since he was a junior in high school. He would be a good one. I'll tell you what, that's not too bad. Now, are you a blues guitarist fan?
Yes, I am.
Well, then you're going to win a pair of tickets to see one of the world's greatest blues guitarists, Joe Bonamassa, at the Orpheum Theater on April 24th. Tickets on sale at the State Orpheum box office. Just hold on, and we'll get your information from you. Thanks so much for taking part in that.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And let's hear question number two.
Number two. With another lottery pick added to the Wolves roster, what are you expecting from them next season?
I shudder to say more of the same. I think they will get better. It depends on who they get, and Ricky Rubio, will he be healthy next year? Zach LaVine actually has surprised me the way he's played.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it, but he's not a point guard.
His offensive style is kind of coming to fruition. He's not afraid to take big shots. I mean, last night he dished out 13 assists, but I think he would be a better two-guard off the bench.
I do, too. And I think that but he also could be a good backup if Rubio could stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a big plus. But
we still have Kevin Martin and Nikola Pekovic. They need to stay healthy as well. But adding another lottery pick to a healthy team...
It depends on who, though. I mean, yes, they can use the center. I have no problem with Jahlil Okafor at all, or Karl Anthony Towns. But when you look at who could have the quickest impact on the team, be hard. You know what? I just have a problem saying no to D'Angelo Russell because he could play the point. Then you have two guys who can play the point and be a shooting guard. And maybe Zach LaVine is the guy that comes off the bench if Ricky. Everything is if Ricky stays healthy.
Pretty much.
He seems. I mean, it.
And LaVine could come off the bench for either or play one or two.
Absolutely. That's
also
what I'm saying. But then you have some
Shabazz
depth there.
Muhammad can do the same coming at two or three for Wiggins. But he's going to be playing almost 48 minutes a game now, isn't he?
Should be. Wiggins, you mean?
Yeah.
He better be. He was a first overall pick. You want him on the floor, don't you?
Every minute of every game, though?
How old is he?
19.
He's young. He can handle it. I don't think it's going to be a problem for that young man. But if you're the Wolves, you got to be feeling pretty good. You got the worst record. Hey, we feel great. We've got the worst record. But you can't blow this. Now, it doesn't mean the guy you draft isn't going to could turn into a flop, but at least it's not going to be a pick. Oh my God, we got stuck with so and so. Wouldn't you say the worst they can do is fourth, right? That's the worst they can pick. So Carl Anthony Towns, Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell, this Kristaps Porzingis, or Emmanuel Mudiay. There's five.
They all look like good options.
Yeah, some, you know what? Honestly, I got to be honest. I wish I knew more and saw more of Porzingis.
Yeah.
But everyone...
I've only read about him. I haven't seen anything about him. I don't think they have cameras in Latvia.
They haven't gotten that far yet?
Not sure.
They're still using... Actually, they're still huddled around radios. I don't know if they have TV there. We don't know enough about Latvia. But the name that keeps coming up, you brought it up, and we've heard it yesterday, Jerry Zagoda brought it up, is Dirk Nowitzki. If he's like that, that's not so bad, is it?
I'll take it.
He led his team to a title. So it's not... But there's nobody else really that jumps up there. And Justice Winslow, depending on the drafts or the, you know, the mock drafts you see, some have him rated as the fourth best behind Towns, Okafor, Towns, Russell, and then Winslow. But he doesn't make sense for this team.
No, he just wouldn't fit.
Not a small forward. You know, you don't need a backup. You get the first. If you get that first pick, you need a guy that's going to come in and be an instant starter. And any one of these guys, actually, you know, Towns could, or Okafor starts at center. Russell becomes your shooting guard. Porzingis becomes your power forward. And Mudiay becomes a, you know, well, Mudiay actually, as a point guard, if...
He has the size and athletic ability to be a two-guard as
okay,
well.
Does he have the shooting ability? Is he a good shooter?
He needs to learn shot selection better.
Okay, you know what? He shouldn't be in play.
Not a lot of people know too much about him because scouts aren't over in China watching him play this past year.
Well, then what you're looking at is Towns, Okafor, Porzingis, or Russell.
Which I'm okay.
And any one of the four wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. Any one of the four should make this team better, and obviously that's the goal.
Well, you know what would happen if David Kahn was still running this team? He'd take Justice Winslow. Get another, you know, small forward.
He'd trade down to accumulate two first-round picks and take point guard after point guard after point guard,
well,
and then he'd trade them all away,
well,
too.
Then maybe what he would wind up with, and that wouldn't be the worst thing, is Tyus Jones.
But then he'd trade him.
Yeah, that could be.
For two second-round picks next year.
That I can't argue with you. That's a very strong possibility.
Never understood that thought process, how he kept drafting point guards and turning over the roster and trading them away every single year.
There was no point or thought process with this guy. It was stupid.
At some point, you just got
to
stick with the roster and
yeah.
He wouldn't do it.
Idiot. Anyway, we have another question?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Finally, the NFL draft is just 2 weeks away.
Yes,
what position do you think the Vikings should be looking for in the first round?
It's going to be defense.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a guy that, you know, the cornerback, there's a cornerback. Say, you know what? Throw a dart at any position. You can't really go wrong. They probably think they're in decent shape on the defensive line, but they could certainly show up at middle linebacker, even outside linebacker, and you need a safety. You need a cornerback.
Yeah.
There's going to be good players sitting there.
And I understand a lot of the mock drafts, how they want us to take a wide receiver to pair with Teddy Bridgewater, but you got to look at the coaches and what they're trying to do.
You got to look.
We're
at
going defense.
You got to look at the head coach and what he wants to do. Yeah, he wants to build with defense.
Like if Trey Waynes isn't there, we could still take one of the DNs that also will probably be a linebacker in our situations, like Bud Dupree or Randy Gregory, if his character issues are all taken care of. Landon Collins is a safety.
You know what? Okay, all the guy did was smoke dope. And he was a dope because he should have known, or his agent should have known, how long it takes to get through your system. But he's not the first guy who's done that and slid in the draft or did something stupid and slid in the draft and turned out to be a hell of a player. There's no way Randy Moss should have lasted in the draft as long as he did. And
no.
He didn't turn out to be all that shabby now, did he?
No. Kind of at the beginning of the passing era in football.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. Now, who would, let's say, all right, you're picking, I'm just looking at one of these mock drafts. This is USA Today. They still have Devontae Parker as the guy that the Vikings would take. I don't have a problem with it, but again, as you said, and I think I don't see when Mike Zimmer is your head coach, and they're going to look at that. We got Charles Johnson. They're going to say, you know, they just made the trade to get Mike Wallace. Who again, I'm not exactly sold on him, just because. I would rather have Greg Jennings because he's dependable. Wallace could be terrific or he could just screw you over because you can't trust the guy that, he started a fight with his coaching staff, didn't he, at the end of last year? That's
a little
problematic. The question is, though, what will be there and who will they wind up looking at or taking at number 11? Trey Waynes is the guy, right, that comes up a lot, the Michigan State cornerback.
Yep.
He could be pretty good for him. There's Was that hybrid safety we were talking about a few weeks ago from
Shaq
from Washington?
Thompson, yeah, Shaq who's Thompson. He's kind of dipped a little bit, so we might be able to pick him up in the second round. So if we trade AP and get that 27th pick, we can trade down from
11,
get another first-round pick, possibly another second-round
pick. I don't
think
you don't trade down from – you don't move from 11 unless you're moving up to get, like, an absolute slam-dunk stud.
I wouldn't rule it out, though.
Of trading down again? Well, to accumulate more picks.
If there are certain guys, if we really want Trey Waynes or Landon Collins or one of the linebackers that's probably not even going to fall to us, then we might look at the possibilities of trading back and just accumulating more picks to move back up into the first round the way Spielman keeps doing.
But if you're at number 11 and you don't take – Trey Waynes is not going to go much past 15. I mean, taking him there is not going to be – that's not a bad thing to do.
No.
Is grab him at – if you grab him at 11, just take a guy who's not going to be a stiff. There's been too many years when that's happened with Viking drafts. And I think it's going to work out fine for him because he – other than Christian Ponder, that's the thing that hangs over Spielman's head.
Yeah.
Other than that, it hasn't been horrific what he's done.
It's been pretty good.
Not too shabby. Hey, we're going to take a quick break when we get back. Sam Ekstrom's been busy in there getting ready some audio from an ESPN. What would you call her? ESPN? Well, celebrity. She's a reporter. You'll hear from her lips to your ears. I'm in the news, sweetheart. I will blanking sue this place. We'll explain who, what and why, and you'll hear from the young lady's voice herself. She is one of our D-Bag of the Day candidates when we return. I just read the things that this gal said. You're going to hear some of them. Thanks to Sam Ekstrom for actually putting it together. He had to take out a few of the more juicy comments she had, the dirty words. Britt McHenry is her name. And it comes down to, it was her talking to a parking lot attendant. And, well, just, her car was getting towed. And that's what started this. But you listen for yourself here.
Yep, that's how you carry on. It's just taking people's money with no education, no skill set. Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Why have to have a brain and you don't? Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh? Lose some weight, baby girl.
Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh? Lose some weight, baby girl. Awesome. Where'd she get that voice? She didn't get the job because of her voice. I don't think she's even that great looking. I mean, she's all right. What about you? You date her?
I don't know. I got to look her up.
You haven't looked at her?
Can't.
Well, she's a blondie.
Can't remember what she looks like.
She's not too shabby, I got to say. Even though she talks like this. She sounds more like Gollum. But she also said, and we didn't put this one in, I'm in the news, sweetheart. I will blanking sue this place. Yeah. Britt McHenry works out of Washington. Washington-based reporter. ESPN said it's looking into the matter. You know, I got to be honest with you. What she did was ridiculous, and I got to tell you who our other candidate is, but I don't think anything's topping Britt McHenry and her little tirade. I don't think ESPN should even stick its nose in this because I mean she acted like an ass.
Mm-hmm.
She is going to wind up being our D-bag of the day, but she should not be disciplined by ESPN for something that has nothing to do with ESPN. She lost her little temper. And I'm guessing she won't do that again. Not in public. Gone are the days when you could berate a toothless employee at the parking garage.
She might be out of a job soon, and she might be looking to lose some teeth so she can get that job and have some source of income.
Maybe she'll have to call this woman and say, can you get me a job?
Please.
That's just terrible, too. I mean, I have... Have you ever publicly berated anyone?
Not that I can think of.
No, I would never do it. I can't imagine, you know, even you'd have to really have some incredibly high opinion of yourself to publicly berate someone about anything. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously, I've berated my kids, yelled at them. My wife and I have, you know, raised our voices at times. But I cannot ever remember yelling at anyone in public. You know, if I argued with anyone in public. I did yell at Chris Carter that time, but so did Anthony Carter when Anthony told you Anthony Carter and I were arguing about wrote the story saying that he was the only guy that could bring a first-round pick. Never read the story. Somebody told him, I said they should trade Anthony Carter. So we finally figure, you know, get it sorted out. AC starts to walk away. CC, Chris Carter, this is about a week after he joined the Vikings, shoves AC into me. So Anthony Carter and I, we were united. We both screamed at Chris Carter for being a D-bag. And but no, I don't recall ever. I can't imagine thinking I'm so much better than anyone to do something like that. Can you?
Well, I've had it happen to me as a younger guy getting jobs as a cashier, like a gas station, and people yelling at me. It actually just happened fairly recently at the job I had before this. Guy started yelling and swearing at me. And
what'd you do?
I had a supervisor looking and saw my face getting red and saw me bite my lip like I was going to throw a punch or something. And supervisor came in and pulled the guy away because she could tell I was about to go crazy and yell back at the
guy. So now you ran a 5.5 flat in the 40, right? We established that. What was the other thing you told us you
four,
did?
4.5.
4.5. Yeah. No, so 4.5 or 4.5. 4.5, excuse me. I
ran
apologize.
Ran a 5 in my sleep.
4.5 in the 40. Okay. You hell of a baseball player. You're going to try out for the Saints. I'm guessing you were like an AAU boxing champ, too. Golden Gloves boxing champ. You could have really done some damage on this person.
Remains to be seen. I guess I don't know.
What would you have been? A featherweight back in the day?
Bantam?
Where do you go now?
I don't know what the
listings
are.
Let me see if I can do like guess your weight at the fair. I'm thinking $160. It's
pretty much right. Right on the head.
I tell you what, I know I could win. The only thing I couldn't guess because I would
beans?
Huh? No, I wouldn't try to guess my own weight because I would certainly scale it down by about 50. What do I weigh? I weigh 165 in my sleep. Hey, stop that. Our other candidate who's not going to win, Scott Spezio. Remember him? 2-time World Series champ. He was tased by police and taken into custody. This goes back to last week. Following an alleged window-smashing rampage, he was called to Spezio's apartment complex in Ottawa, Illinois, around 2:30 a.m. Nothing good happens at that time of the hour. On last Tuesday, after his girlfriend called 911 and said that Spezio punched out a neighbor's window. You really have to be out there to punch a neighbor's window out. You know, not your own. You're going to take a swipe at a neighbor's window. You got to get a little better control of yourself. But anyway, cops got to the scene. Spezio was gone, so they called for the K-9 backups to track down the 42-year-old Spezio. These dogs really need to kick it in, too. Took them hours, but a few hours later, officials located Spezio behind a building and tried to take him into custody. They had to get out the taser to take him down. You know what? You were a 2-time World Series champ. Tough guy, baseball. Just stand there and take it like a man. Don't hide behind the building. Just say, okay, I did it. Here, take me. You think you're going to elude the police and the canines?
He was going to hide behind a window, but he broke them all.
He should have dove in. But also, okay, canine dogs. Took 2 hours, a couple hours to find the guy? Come on. He had to be letting off some odor. I'm thinking alcohol could have been involved, but we don't know that. It certainly would have been a possibility. All right, is there any doubt in your mind who's the winner is today?
No.
Let's give people a little bit more of Britt McKinney. Dippin' Henry, I love her voice. Play that again. I love this.
Yep, that's all you care about is just taking people's money with no education, no skill set. Do you feel good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing? Why could I have a brain and you don't? Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh? Lose some weight, baby girl.
Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh?
And lose some weight.
Lose some weight, baby girl. Yeah, Brooke McHenry, that's audio of her being a little upset with the parking lot attendant and because her car was towed. What is the attendant's fault? Come on. Anyway, Britt, you're our winner today. Our dumbass and D-bag of the day, Britt McHenry, ESPN, Washington.
She earned it.
She got it. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to be joined by Bill Pennington. I read the book cover to cover, even read the bibliography. He wrote Billy Martin, Baseball's Flawed Genius. Honest to God, it's one of the best sports books I've ever read. I thought I knew a lot about Billy Martin. This book's phenomenal. I'm going to talk. Well, we will talk. And if you're welcome, you want to give a call and ask him some questions. If you've read the book or have questions about it, 651-989-9105. We'll be right back with Bill Pennington.